Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Well, good evening, as you can
tell.
It.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. We are so glad to have you with us here tonight, as we are every Tuesday night from 7 to 8:30-ish. And we are so excited. We've got Bishop and I. We're going to be talking with you today. And we have a lot. He's going to lead us in Bible study, but we have a lot to talk about. We're so excited. Bishop, are you in there? Are you there?
I'm here. I'm
awesome.
Definitely here, and I'm raring to go.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. We are going to start off with prayer. And after prayer, we're going to have a song. And after we have a song for devotion, we'll have scripture. Bishop, if you have that scripture for us. And then after we have scripture, we're going to go into intercessory prayer and then begin. So as we start tonight, I just want to thank the Lord for being so loving and grateful and caring and patient, and that God loves us so much.
Yes.
And so as we go forward tonight, we come humbly before the throne. We sit and we look and we imagine the crystal emerald glass or crystal emerald sea that's before the throne, that crystal green color that's there, that's reminding us of the presence of God sitting on the throne. Yeah. And we see that awe, that splendor, that phenomenon. And we are humbled because we are like Isaiah in the temple when he says that the train filled the temple. And in that we recognize that in our humanity we are very little, but we are very loved. And so as
yes.
we come before the Lord, we remember that love. We remember that space. We remember that he holds us and keeps us and loves us so much that he allowed his son to serve as a propitiation for our sins, to serve as a sacrifice for us, that we could be restored back into relationship with him when we fell short. Oh, God is so good, and we are so grateful. And as we come before you tonight, Lord, we just want to say thank you. Thank you for walking with us, talking with us throughout the day. Thank you for keeping us through the situations and the snares that the enemy tried to set, Lord, but you said no weapon, hallelujah, formed against us shall prosper. And as a result, oh God, we are holding on to your unchanging hand. And we walk with you and talk with you. And although our knees are beneath our hearts, we are like an empty pitcher before a full fountain, and we love you. And we ask that you would teach us revelation knowledge this month. Thank you, Lord, for protecting us. Lord, the world is having struggles. And we are asking that you continue to watch over and keep us with all of the things that are happening. And tonight, Lord, we're asking for revelation knowledge that you would come in the house. And, Lord, all the people who are listening tonight, that you would give them an extra dose of knowledge, an extra sense of your presence, that they would feel the Holy Spirit in ways that they have not in some time, and know that you have visited with them. And so tonight, Lord, we just ask him that you place a special anointing on Bishop as he leads the Bible study tonight, that you place a special anointing on any of the people who come into the studio tonight, great in ways, and that people might see that relationship and ask, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to have that relationship with God? What must I do to come before him in a way that will guarantee that I would be with him forever. So, Lord, we thank you for this, and we move forward into this study, and we are assured that we will look more and more like you. We thank you in the matchless name of Jesus. We pray. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Reading from Psalm 142, verses 1 through 7. And the title of this psalm, if you have it in your New King James Version, says, A Plea for Relief from Persecutors, a Contemplation of David, a Prayer when He Was in a Cave. Verse 1, I cry out to the Lord with my voice. With my voice to the Lord I make my supplication. I pour out my complaint before him. I declare before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then you knew my path in the way in which I walk. They have secretly set a snare for me. I took my right hand and see, for there was no one who acknowledges me. Refuge has failed me. No one cares for my soul. I cried out to you, O Lord. I said, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Attend to my cry, for I am bought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise your name. Your righteous shall surround me, for you shall deal bountifully with me. This is the word of the Lord, and the people said, Amen. We're going into the time of Hallelujah. We're going.
Glory because of who you are, I give you praise because of who you are. I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you because. Oh,
To the Lord for intercessory prayer. Are there any prayer requests at this time?
This is Dr. Susie. I have a prayer request. I have several, actually. I want to lift up prayers for Margaret. Margaret may be in transition. She's headed to Cincinnati, so we ask for special prayers for her and her travels. And ask prayers for her daughter, Sophia. Ask prayers for their family. I also would like to pray for Brother Eric, wherever he may be, and his family. And that you would, we also pray for Sister Shirley as she is helping her church family out, that you would lift her up. I'd like you to also pray for Sylvia Trotter and, you know, pray that she was able to sell a house and, you know, that you would continue to bless her. I also want to lift up at this time the veterans. You know, we just had Veterans Day, and I just want to lift up our veterans and say thank you for their service. And just I thank God for the veterans because they just, you know, I love them dearly, and God has been so good to me to allow me to serve them. I also would like to lift up my family and my health. I ask that you would pray for my health and pray for my children and my loved ones. My Bishop, if you would add to the prayer list, Mary Ann Glover. Mary Ann just lost her brother today, and she would like to have prayer for his family. Yes, and that'll hold me for the moment.
Amen. You know, before we got on, this is still midterm election. Certain races are still being decided. But what came over me was to pray for our nation, that God would bring this nation back into some semblance of harmony, that we would, you know, close the gaps of division, that the country can be purple. You know, we don't have to be red and then blue. We can be mixed. We can have, you know, we can share some ideas and respect the ideologies of other people without being nasty, disagreeable. Respect their opinions. And so I'm asking for harmony for the United States of America and pray for revival around the world.
Would you also add, they were talking about a five alert, whatever, you know, mm-hmm. that was happening in Poland.
Mm-hmm.
So just asking that you would pray for that and Ukraine and all of the challenges. And I ask as well that you would pray for the basketball, Miss Griner. She's being moved to a colony where it may not be good for her. So that God would cover her and that she would have a relationship, if she doesn't already, a relationship with God. So just asking and praying for her and that God would be there
yes.
for her.
Amen. Amen. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we bless you. We honor you. We come to you in the matchless, mighty, marvelous name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask for your healing power. We ask for your blessing, but we extol you. We exalt you. We praise you. We love you. We adore you. We worship you because you are God and we are your children. And so, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to stand before you to obtain mercy in your throne room, that we can come into your throne room. And we honor you. We bow down before you and we worship you, Lord. We thank you for who you are in our lives. We thank you for your matchless mercies, Lord. And Lord, we lift up our dear sister, Margaret. Her presence is missed right now. We love the calm that she brings to the program. And we love the depth of her spirit. And so we pray for traveling mercies for Margaret right now. And we lift up her daughter, Sophia, and her family, Lord. Whatever it is they stand in need of the most, we pray for them. And, Lord, we pray that this family would somehow come closer together than they ever have been before, that they would know intimacy not only with you but with each other, that they would become one unit that is for God. And we bless you for it right now. Lord, we lift up Eric, Lord. We pray wherever he is that you would touch him. Lord, heal him, guide him, direct him, grow him in Jesus' mighty name. Make him more of a mighty man of valor, Lord God. Make him a better, effective soldier for your kingdom, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, I thank you for Shirley. Dr. Susie and I thank you for Sister Shirley, and I'm sure her church family is thankful for her help, her assistance, her leadership, her guidance, her wisdom, her intellect, God, for what she is doing for that church. Use her in such a mighty way, God, in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, bring Shirley on back at the time that you see fit. We
Amen.
Miss her, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for Sylvia Trotter. Lord, I can't even imagine, and I don't want to imagine. So, Lord, we pray your comfort. Your word tells us, blessed are they that mourn. Excuse me. I said Sylvia. Oh, excuse me.
Yes.
Excuse me. From Marianne. Lord, in her loss, God, we pray for the family. Comfort them, Holy Spirit, in this time. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray that you would touch them and keep them together. And, Lord, in this time of loss, God, I pray, God, that you would send angels to encamp around about them, angels to comfort them in the name of Jesus. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. So comfort them right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And, Lord, we lift up our veterans for their service. We thank you. And for their sacrifices, forgotten, for they have sacrificed a lot. They've seen things that they care not to speak about in regular conversations, Lord. They have PTSD, they have MTS, Lord, they have MI, they have all of these things, but you have the healing for all of it. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, thank you for our veterans and their sacrifice and their service and their continued service and their continued patriotism. Lord, bless them and reward them, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thank you for Dr. Susie's service to the veterans, Lord God, for a listening ear, a humbled heart, a servant's heart to minister to those that seem like they can't be ministered to, and you find a way through Dr. Susie to minister to them the love of Christ, even by being present and not saying a word. But through that being present, that they are able to feel your presence, Lord God. And so we thank you for a yielded vessel such as Dr. Susie. And we lift up Sydney. We lift up James Sr. We lift up James Jr., Lord God. And we pray that your will would be done in their life, whatever it is they stand in the need of. We lift up James as he's in school. We lift up Sydney as she's embarking on new adventures. We pray that you would put a hedge of protection around Dr. Susie and her family, Lord God, in the name of Jesus Christ. And, Lord, now we lift up Dr. Susie. Lord, that you would touch her health. And, Lord, put a hedge of protection around her concerning her job, concerning her health, concerning everything about Dr. Susie. Protect her, minister to her, grow her, anoint her even the more, because the best is yet to come for Dr. Susie. We bless you and we glorify you and we love you, Lord, for what you're getting ready to do. We thank you for what you're doing, and we thank you for what you've already done. But, Lord, we thank you for what you're getting ready to do in this woman of God's life. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God, we lift up Sylvia Trotter as she's selling her house. And, Lord, let her get the best deal. Don't let her settle for the, you know, something right away. But, Lord, give her the best deal, Lord. And, Holy Spirit, you take complete control of the business transaction, and that you would see to it that this transaction is done in decency and in order. Move all of the tricks and the schemes and the slick talkers and the fast talkers, they will not have any part in the transaction that will be a blessing to Sylvia Trotter in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Lord, this has been a rough 8 years. There's been division in this country. There have been spirits that have been unleashed. We bind them in the name of Jesus. We bind the spirit of division and hatred in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for this country, that we don't have to be conservative. We don't have to be liberal. We don't have to be moderate. We just can be who we are, Lord God. And we don't have to wear a label that some pundit or some talking head puts on us, God. Help us to, again, walk in harmony and unity in this country like never before. Lord, help this nation come to her senses again. Bring America to her knees, Lord God. And Lord, help us to stop the infighting and the hatred, and bring us together under your banner, Lord God, as we kneel and we pray, we repent. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways, then will you hear from heaven and heal our land and forgive our sins, O God. Our sins are many, so Lord, forgive us. We stand in the gap for this nation right now. We pray for the president and his cabinet. We pray for the leaders across this nation, God, in the name of Jesus. Now, God, we have before us a very pressing matter where Poland has called for Article 5, where the NATO alliance would join together and answer to the act of aggression that happened to them today. Lord, we pray that you would calm the saber rattling right now and every person that stands under the name of Jesus, that we would touch and agree. We would come into agreement for peace on this world, oh God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Help every nation, every leader, God, in the name of Jesus, to yield to your voice, yield to your will, God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, we bless you and we glorify you and we honor you, we worship you, we adore you. And Lord, finally, we lift up Brittany Griner. And I pray, Lord, even this penal colony that she's been sent to, Lord, even in the lesson that we're going to learn tonight, there is no place where you are not, for you are omnipresent. And let her run smack dab into you. Send ministers across her path. Holy Spirit, intervene. Take control. Take complete control. And, Lord, turn this situation around. Eventually she'll be able to come home. And, Lord, I pray that you speed up the time and make a way for her to come home sooner than what they pronounce the sentence as. Get her free, God, we pray, in the name of Jesus. We bless you. We glorify you. We honor you. We love you. And we lift you up. And, Lord, be with us throughout this Bible study, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen, 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 amen. We just thank the Lord so much for watching over us and keeping us through the day. And we just ask that as we trust that the Lord is working in our lives, and that we can just walk and trust and know that he is God. He is everything he said he was and more. Amen. So
amen.
As we go further into the Bible study tonight, just wanted to ask Bishop if he is ready to go, let's go, let's go. And
amen.
To say, you know, we're in a place in our journey where it's too late to get ready. It's time to go. So,
amen.
Bishop, take us on.
You know, we were talking last week about exclamatory, and as we were ending, we say oftentimes our prayers check us. Bad-tempered people, we ought to always pray just a little to let us know our angry expressions that fly from our lips. And come on now, tell the truth. Tell the truth. Shame the devil. Don't we as Christians get angry sometimes? Sometimes.
Of course. Of course we do. Yeah. Of course we do.
Yeah, especially, and there's times, I mean, look, James and John had a nickname, didn't they? They were called the Sons
Thunder.
Of Thunder.
That's right.
And it wasn't because they were thunderous preachers. It was because they both had bad tempers. They, see, let's tell the truth. They had bad tempers. So, you know, if James and John, if they walked with Jesus, saw his mannerisms, it's safe to say that just walking with him for 3.5 years, they weren't totally free of some of their humanly ways. God works through us. God works through us in spite of us. Amen. I mean, you know,
amen.
There's
praise
times.
God, David.
Thank you. What'd you say, Dr.
Amen.
Susie?
I said,
praise
amen,
God,
and praise do. God, they were transformed.
You know, we don't stay in that, but we got to understand, God, I heard somebody say it this way, Dr. Susie. God doesn't call the qualified. God qualifies the called. Very different. When we look at it, we want everybody to be super saint overnight. There's some trials and some tribulations, and a lot of the wisdom that we as Christians have comes from, as my daddy used to say, bought sense. The sense that you paid for from the mistakes that you made. You learn lessons from them. Amen. Said a good woman was advised to take a glass of water and hold some of it in her mouth for 5 minutes before she scolded her husband. I dare say, this is Spurgeon speaking, it was not a bad recipe, but instead of practicing that little eccentricity, she should breathe a short prayer to God, it would be certainly, it would certainly be more effective and far more scriptural. I can also recommend a valuable prescription for the hasty and the irritable. All who are quick to take offense and slow to forgive insult or injury. When you are about to close a business deal about the propriety of which you have little doubt or a positive scruple, such a prayer as, "Guide me, O Lord," would often keep you from doing what you would afterward regret. You know, you ever bought a car and it was a lemon? It was in the shop more than it was out of the shop. And he was like, look, you went to church and said, look at what God blessed me with. Well, if your payment is $1,700 a month, is that really a blessing? So the word of God says that the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow with it. So is it really a blessing from God? The car is sharp. It's nice, but it's a lemon. Did God bless you with a lemon? Let's think about these things that we spiritualize so much. So I'm going to ask a couple of questions. Where is a good place to pray?
Well,
that you don't pray where you are. You have to wait till you get to that place to pray. Where's a good place to pray? Another question. How long should we pray? That's something to think about. Another question. How often should we pray? And here's another question. Well, it's more of an answer. Wherever you are is a good place to pray. You can play on, you can pray on the job.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Amen.
Huh? I could keep on recommending exclamatory prayer. This is what Spurgeon says. But I will say one more thing about it in its favor. I believe it is very suitable for some people of a special temperament who could not pray for a long time to save their lives. Their minds are rapid and quick. Well, dear friends, time is not an element in the business. God does not hear us because of the length of our prayer, but because of the, because of the sincerity of it. Can somebody find for me, can you find for me, Dr. Susie, 1 Thessalonians 5:17? We're getting ready to go into successful prayer. And
particular version?
Any modern English version. Any modern English version.
1 Thessalonians, what, 10:13?
5:17.
5:17? Okay, 5:17.
Yes,
so I'm going to read from the New Living Translation.
Okay.
If that's fine. So, I would like to start, 17 is the one that you want to focus on, but I want to read the whole context. It says, always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. And the focal point verse is 17, he said, never stop praying.
Yeah.
Never.
So how often should we pray?
Never stop. Pray without ceasing.
Always. And this is what we were talking about last week with the exclamatory prayer. The exclamatory prayers allow us to pray all the time. I know when I'm in certain places, I'll be like, Lord, help. And I remember my granny's, you know, she was country from Kentucky, and she'd be, Lord help. That's a prayer. Two words, Lord help. You know, she'd look at us sometime as her grandchildren, and she'd laugh, and she'd have that little chuckle. Lord help. And she was praying for us. She's praying for us all the time, because why? We needed to be prayed for all the time. All of us did. So he says a successful prayer. Where was David when he prayed? We read it at the beginning of the lesson. He was in a cave. God will hear prayer on the land, on the sea, and even under the sea. I remember someone that at a prayer meeting saying so. Prayer meeting was rather astonished and asked, how would God hear prayer under the sea? The man said that he was a diver, and he often went down to the bottom of the sea after shipwrecks. He said that he had held communication with God while he had been at work in the depths of the ocean. So, fact one in theology, which we've learned, God is omnipresent. Amen? That means he's present everywhere at one time. Now, for us as human beings, we can't fathom that. God is not short to hear our prayers. He can hear us. He hears us all the time. God hears our prayers. God is spirit. They that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so God hears us, right? Our God is not only the God of the hills, but he's also the God of the valleys. He is God on the of both land and sea. God heard Jonah when he was disobedient, and the disobedient prophet was at the roots of the mountains when the earth with her bars seemed to be around. So here's something that, Dr. Susie, what do you think about this statement here? Prayer is not to be measured by the yard or weighed by the pound. It is the might and the force of it, the truth and reality of it, the energy and the intensity of it. You who are either so little in a mind or so quick to mind that you cannot use many words to continue long and to think of one thing, it should be to your comfort that exclamatory prayers are acceptable to him forever. Wherever you work, you can pray. Wherever you lie sick, you can pray. There is no place to which you can be banished that God is not near. And there is no time of day or night that his throne is inaccessible. What do you think about that statement, Dr. Susie?
Well, that was a really long statement. So what...
Let's shorten it up. There is no place which you cannot be banished to that God cannot be near.
Amen. So the point is the Psalms 139, let me read that, is exactly where I was going to go with that. I think it's 129. And it says, I guess 139. The one I'm looking for says that, where can we go from the Lord? There it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's 139. And it says, you have searched me, and you know me. It says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light becomes night around me, even the darkness will not be to you. The night will shine like the dark, for the darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. And it says, basically, that no matter where we go, no matter how far it is, God is there. If we go to heaven, God is there. If we go to hell, God is there. Wherever we find ourselves, God is there. There is nowhere we can go where the Lord won't be there or can't get to us. So,
Dr. Susie, you just reminded me of this really happened. In the church where I was licensed and ordained, St. Stephen's Church of God in Christ. We had a group of brothers. I called them a Holy Ghost seal team, because they went to the streets They went to some of the hardest neighborhoods in Southeast San Diego. They witnessed to gangbangers, bikers, bike gangs. I mean, they witnessed to the roughest of the rough. And one dude was out there, and he was trying to buy drugs. And one of the blockbusters said, "Repent, brother, for the kingdom of God is at hand." He said, "Man, I don't need to be hearing this stuff." And you know, he didn't say stuff. And he got in his car from San Diego, drove to Tucson, Arizona, which was 8 hours away. He goes up into an apartment, and when he goes up into the apartment, gets ready to put his key in the door, there's a lady that walks out from the door. She says, "Praise the Lord, brother, how are you?" And she happened to be Hazel Holloway, who was a member of our church in San Diego. So he tried to run away from God. And he ended up running right smack into God. Somebody was praying for him. He came back and told their testimony about, you know, and the scripture that you just read. You know, there's no place where we can hide. If I try to, you know, hide in the darkness, it's going to turn as light as day. Because God is light. He wraps himself in light.
But even when we're not trying to hide, we feel that we're, if something is taking us away or separating us, then the reality is nothing that we can do, nothing that can happen, will God allow there to be that separation between us. I have veterans exactly. all the time who are feeling as though, you know, that they're far from God, but the reality is God says, "I am who I said I am at all Amen. Times. And being who I am, it doesn't matter. It's not good what how you feel. You don't feel I'm there. That doesn't change who I am. I said really? I'm with you. I never leave you, nor I forsake you. So what God said is true, regardless of what you feel.
Mm-hmm.
God is there.
Scripture that we read, the heading, I like it because it said he was in the cave. Do we wait till we go to church to pray? Especially if there's a hard, burning, pressing desire to commune with God. Do we have to wait until we actually go into the doorsteps of the church and go into the doors of the church, Dr. Susie, to pray?
Prayer takes place all the time, 24/7, anywhere, wherever you are.
24/7. Amen. Do some people feel comfortable to pray around people? You know, where two on earth are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. Well, you know, I still would like to pray to God for myself. Can you, you know, they said, Dr. Susie, that they've taken prayer out of school. Do you believe that? That there's, you can't pray in school no more?
Well, legalistically, they're saying that the institution is not supporting prayer in school because there was a time when we did allow that. But in reality, we have teachers all over the place. We have students everywhere that are praying, that will continue to pray.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And we better know that just because they say you can't pray, well, you can't publicly pray. You can't have, you know, the government endorse prayer. You're not supposed to in certain states. In certain states, they do.
You remember how the kids would go down to the pole?
Yes, ma'am.
They would go down to the flagpole.
He says, if you are burdened with sin, cry to God. How does one cry? How do we cry to God, Dr. Susie? We cry out loud?
Oh. You tell him like Jeremiah. Out loud, quietly, sniffling.
Yes.
On the inside, where you, sometimes you can't do it in public, but you're on the inside, you're expressing it and feeling it. Absolutely.
And when you're crying on the inside and you're feeling it, it's loud in heaven's ears. The prayers of the righteous availeth much. The prayers of the righteous, they reach God's throne room. your prayers. You don't even have to, you know, those tears that stream down your face when you're burdened or happy or when you're worshiping, that's sweetness to God. That is sweet to God. So we cry out to him. We can cry out to God with our voice. If we have no place where we can use our voice, we can cry to God in silence, but we can cry to God. You know, Spurgeon says, so, look Godward. Yes, Dr. Susan.
I was just going to say, you know, as he was trying to get us to understand what prayer in the cave was like, as he was trying to get us to get clarity about the fact that many of you who are out there tonight who are struggling because you know you've been convicted by sin, God allows you, there'll be a place for you. There's some place that becomes your cave, whether it's, you know, you lose your job or you're struggling at home or your marriage is on the rocks or your kids are on drugs. Something that's happened that's got you in the cave and you're on your knees, or you go into the woods and you're sitting down on the log and you're watching the water and you're praying and you're lifting it up, or you're up on a mountain and you're looking around and you're trying to plead out to God and you're crying on the inside and on the outside because no one's there. You can scream, you can holler, but no matter where that is, if it's in your bathroom, if it's in your laundry room, whatever becomes your cave is the place where you can pray, because the Lord has convicted you. The Lord is calling you out, because as we fall short of the glory of God, we are able to repent, and in that sense of understanding that we have fallen short before the Lord, then our fears come to place. Our struggle comes to fruition when we know that we have upset the Almighty God, that God may be upset with us because we have disobeyed or we have done that which he asked us not to do. And our heart is sinful. So as a result of it, David says that I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. That means my prayers, my request made known. And he talks about how we have to cry out to God with our voice. And, you know, yes. I don't know about you, Bishop, but I find that there are sometimes I can be in such pain and I just yell. It's like, Lord, help me, you know. And it's just like just on my way to work today was one of those days. And I just was letting go in the car. I was like, Lord, you got to hear me. Lord, you got to feel me. And, Lord, I need you, Lord. And it's such an authentic release to know that you're talking to a God who understands, and a God who cares, and a God who says, I won't leave you or forsake you, and a God who says, come on, cry out to me. I'm there. I'm listening. You know, every tear I put in your in a bottle, I'm taking in everything that you offer to me. And so when I feel that way and I know that I'm being hurt, and it just reminds me that God is ready to pardon me. God is ready to be there for me. That God is there, for me. And there's hope.
Amen.
And that hope is in him, is in God.
Well, and he says right here, just that's a good segue. He says, look Godward. If you look in any direction, all is darkness. Look Godward. There is only hope there. There is only hope there. Look Godward where there is hope. What is hope?
We can live. Experience.
What'd you say, Doc?
It's your heritage of previous experience.
Come on.
You hold on to that which God has given you. What you say?
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Holding on, it's
your heritage of previous experience. If he brought you through before, he'll do it again. That's your hope.
Yes, ma'am. See, we can live without two cars because there was a time when we lived without one car, but we can't live without hope. We can live without money. Some people listening to this radio program right now living with money, without money right now, but you cannot live without hope. Hope is the joyful, pleasant anticipation of a good outcome in spite of present circumstances. What you're going through right now, there's hope that it's going to be better. It's going to get better. Somebody listening to me right now, it is getting better for you right now. Don't give up. Don't quit. Yes, God exists, and God is there for you, and God is speaking to you right now. Look towards God, and that's where your hope is. Somebody said, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. So the first thing that you know, in this cave thing that we have to do is appeal to God. Let him know what we're going through. Let him know. Let the Lord know what it is that we're seeking. And I hope you're seeking his face and not his hand. His hand gives you the provision, but you get the face. You go after the face, you get the whole body. Second, we got to make a confession to him of where we stand. And third, we have to acknowledge that there is no hope for us but in God's mercy. As David put it, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would acknowledge me. There was no man that would know me. What does that say to you? Is there anybody that you're in a state of hopelessness? You might be a state of burnout for you preachers out there. We just lost a brother. And the first time I met him, he was about burnt out. He just went home to be with the Lord this Sunday. He made his plea to God. He made his plea known to God. I met him about 8 years ago. Right here. Mm-hmm. Yes, Dr. Susie.
Go ahead. When you get through, I wanted to talk about confession. Go ahead.
There was only one hope for you, to acknowledge that perhaps you have been trying to be saved by your good works. They're altogether worthless. Even if you heap them together, possibly you expect to be saved by your religiousness. But half of your religiousness is hypocrisy, according to Spurgeon. And how can a person hope to be saved by his hypocrisy? There is no hope in that. Amen. Do you hope to be saved by your feelings? This is what he says about Dr. Susie. You alluded to feelings earlier. This is what Spurgeon says. What changeable as the weather? And if you're from Oklahoma, Will Rogers say, if you don't like the weather in Oklahoma, stick around. It'll change. So he says, they are changeable as the weather. A puff of wind will change your fine feelings into murmuring and rebellion against God. What were you getting ready to say, Dr. Susie?
When you were talking about after we cry to God, we need to be clear about confessing. And I think sometimes people want to skip over that. They want to, not saying that they don't want to, you know, Lord, I'm sorry, I failed. That's all they want to say. And but that's not what he's saying here. What he's talking about here is David says, Lord, I poured out my complaint. Poured out, not sprinkle. Poured out, not sprinkle. I showed before him my trouble. So if we aren't willing to cry out and to reveal and release the anguish, the frustration, the shortcoming, the regret, and be intentional and remorseful so that we are able to share a full confession. Because, see, God already knows it. It's not for God that you're doing it. It's for you.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be willing to tell all of our faults so we can understand that it says, whoso confesses and forsakes his sins shall have mercy. So it's something that happens when we're able to release, to remove the things that were secret and bring them public, so that you're not bound by a sin, that the devil can't hold that against you, because sometimes we think God don't know, or people don't know. So when it's all out in the light, there's freedom. It's freedom when
Amen.
We lay all of our trouble before the Lord. It's like, you know, when you get in trouble as a little kid, and you know, well, mama, yeah, so-and-so, but when you tell everything, you ain't got to go, oof, I ain't got to worry about her finding that out.
Yeah.
And you told it all. It's all revealed. And
yeah.
you're free. And so that's the kind of release that we need, the freedom to walk in truth. And that's what I was saying, the truth will set you free. Go ahead.
Amen. On that note, Dr. Susie, you just triggered a memory. My daddy's of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated, and he had his paddles on the walls. And I'm not going to call my brother's name, but one of my brothers decided to take daddy's frat paddle and hit rocks over the fence like he was swinging a baseball bat. And, you know, we had that no snitch policy way back then. And I wasn't going to say anything. And we was all five of us was in trouble. Even Toby was in trouble. And Toby was a little toddler. And so daddy got the first one. I'm like, oh, that, ooh, that, mm-mm. And so I was next. I said, daddy, you said if we told you the truth, you wouldn't whoop us. He did it. I pointed my finger at one of my brothers. And I didn't get a whooping. Did I snitch? Yes. I did not get the punishment that I so deserved for not telling right away. But, you know, that's there. You know, God will forgive us if we just come out and confess. If we just, you know, and confess honestly. And don't make no excuses for it. I did it because I was mad and they did this wrong to me and this and that and the other. It was me. David, he said, and he said, I was born in sin and shaped in iniquity. You know, he said, but against thee and thee only, against you and you only have I sinned. He was acknowledging what he did. He said, yeah, I did it. And he didn't say it with a haughty spirit. He said it in a humble, contrite, brokenhearted spirit. Amen. And it's like he wasn't proud. He says, plead with God. He said, plead with God. He pleaded with God. Furthermore, if you're still in the cave of doubt and sin, plead with God to set you free. You cannot present a better prayer than the prayer of David in the cave. Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise your name. If you're in prison, you cannot get yourself out by yourself. You may grab the bars and try to shake them, but they are unmovable. You cannot break them with your hands. You may meditate, think, invent, and devise, but you cannot get through those bars. However, there is a hand that can cut the bars of iron. Oh, prisoner in the cage, there is a hand that can open your cage and set you free. You do not have to be a prisoner. Oh, I like that. I like that. We put ourselves in this prison, or the devil, there's a better way. The devil convinces us, Dr. Susie, that we are in a prison and we are never to get out. He does not want us, the devil does not want us to look to the hills from where our help comes from. Our help comes from the Lord. David's in a prison. He's being persecuted. And oh, who's being persecuted that's listening to us? The church. The church. Yeah, go ahead, Dr. Susan.
No, I was just saying, as you're talking about being in prison, you know, this just reminded me of the fact that many people who are listening to us find themselves in prison. They're in prison with a lie that the enemy has told them. And that, frankly, the bar to the prison, the door is open. But they've been lied to and they told it is locked. But they won't walk out and won't leave because the enemy has told them a lie and said that they're locked in and can't leave. And so sometimes the enemy will even create a lie and make us forget and not really fully understand that we're free and we can walk out. And so we have to also look at this and see that with our pleas to God, we don't have to believe that the enemy, what the enemy says, because David said in the cave, as you said a minute ago, bring my soul out of prison that I might praise thy name. So the gate is open, but the enemy will choose to lie to you to make you think it's not. So when God tells you, you got to be tuned in, you got to be listening, you got to be praying while you crying and while you pleading and while you having hope and expectancy that God is going to free you or do something for you. And when you hear it, you have to walk. You can't believe. You got to walk in what you hear and what you know. Because it says for 1,000 tongues to sing the Redeemer's praise.
Yes, yes.
We got to praise him when he lets us know that we're free. We got to praise him when we understand that he's opened the doors and he says he knows our getting up and our laying down. He knows what's on our tongue before we say it. God has all of that information intact, and he knows, and he's letting us know that we're free. He's letting us know that the opportunities for us to move forward and in a different way, to be renewed, to be restored, to be redeemed, is there. But we have to do what? We got to cry, we got to plead, we got to believe, we got to have hope. And when he tells us to do something, we got to walk in it and walk out the door when the prison door is open. I always think about Peter. Remember when Peter was in prison?
Yes.
And the door was open?
The
angel opened the door? You know, we have to be willing to walk. You know, Peter was too scared to leave. He
was thinking he
would never get out of prison. Well.
Yeah. Couldn't believe what he was seeing, what his eyes were seeing. To even further say it, when he went to the house, Rhoda answered the door. What was they doing at the house? They was praying. They were praying
and you
for
know
Peter
what?
To be released.
And you know what? I bet when Peter was skipping on his way over to the house, he might have been running, but on his way over there, he was like, "Ooh, I'm out, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah." You know, let me get out this town, but.
You see, and Rhoda answers the door. They praying, Lord, let Peter out of the prison, Lord. Oh, Jesus, Lord, release him, Lord. And Peter knocks on the door. Rhoda answers the door, sees Peter, slams the door. She doesn't let him in. There's the answer to your prayer right at the door. And eventually somebody came and let him in. Praise God, Peter's free. But, you know, let's talk about certain prisons in our life. Sometimes we can be in the prison of the opinions of other people.
Come on.
I mean, and that'll hold us, and we won't do what we know with God. Well, God didn't tell you to do that. Were you there when God told me to do that? Well, then be quiet. Just pray for me because I know what God said. Did God surely say? Yes, he did. I was praying with the Lord, and he said this. It's been confirmed prophet after prophet after prophet after, you know, God spoke that word to me in my prayers. That's what God said to me. And somebody came by and confirmed it. I wasn't off.
We get in the prison of other people. We get in the prison of our own past. I can't do that because I did this. I can't do that because of this. I can't do that because, and God said, I told you to do that. But we're in the prison. So, and his virgin saying,
because the devil has lied to us, and we're choosing to believe the enemy instead of the Lord.
There it is. There it is. And what does he say? He will set you free. How sinners do praise God's name when they get out of the prison of sin. I remember how when I was set free, I felt like singing all the time. I understood very well the words of Charles Wesley, "Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise." And so you got to know what a Redeemer is. He gives us work. A Redeemer, when a Redeemer sets us free, he gives us work. We have one. Dr. Spurgeon further says, I recall a story that my old friend Dr. Alexander Fletcher told me some children one time. He said that he was going down the street one day and he saw a boy standing in his on his head, turning cartwheels, jumping up and down. I said to him, "What are you doing? You seem to be tremendously happy." And the boy replied, "Oh, mister, if you had been locked up for 6 months and had just gotten out, you'd be happy too." I have no doubt this is very true. When a person gets out of the prison of sin, or the prison of other people's opinion, or the prison of their past, a far worse prison than an earthly prison, he must praise God for God's free grace and undying love. He must sing and make his whole life musical with the praise of the emancipating Christ.
So what happens is when we fall short of the glory of God, when we sin and know that the wages of sin is death, then in order for us to get the opportunity to have salvation, to be redeemed, redeeming means God, Jesus Christ, died on the cross to buy back, to buy us back. He paid in full, to tell us stuff, paid in full, so that we would be released from captivity to freedom. Praise God. That's what he did. He redeemed, he bought back.
Yes, yes. And I'm so glad he purchased my salvation, paid with it himself, with his blood. You know, he said something about if you're going to try to live by the law, he said the law couldn't save you because you would have had to obey the whole law.
Everything.
Your past sins were still present if you're under the law. So, my goodness. He says this, he further says, I've been kept in a place where you could not leave. You know, I was in the Navy for 8 years. I could have quit, but that would have been, you know, dishonorable discharge. That would have been AWOL. It would have been prison time. I wouldn't have been able to vote. There would have been so many other things that I could not have done. But I did my obligation, and when I got free and I was able to come home, I was happy. I was free. I was set free. But when I got free from the devil's treadmill, looking like I'm going someplace, but I wasn't going anywhere at all, I became free. This is what Spurgeon says. Now, that is my advice to you who are in a cave because of conviction of sin. May God make that cave that you're in a cave of blessing. If you are under a sense of sin, heed what I have already said. You need not to notice anything else that I'm going to write in this chapter. If you are not in the cave of conviction,
The rest of this chapter belongs to you. So if you're a persecuted believer, there are churches and Christians around the world right now who know firsthand the persecution of those who despise Christianity. Dr. Susie, do you know of any such stories of some people in the persecuted church?
I don't know what you're asking. Go ahead. I'm not sure about what you're questioning.
There are people, there are pastors who have been commanded by their persecutors to denounce the name of Christ. And because they did not, there was gasoline poured upon them, and they were lit ablaze. They were lit on fire because they would not persecute. And so it kind of makes me go ahead.
In the 90s, I went to Russia, and there was an underground church.
Mm-hmm.
And in the underground church, and they actually went underground because there was the same persecution that you're talking about. And during this time, because people would not deny Christ, they came up missing. And they it was a very tough time for the Russians, that the Russian church.
Mm-hmm.
And they would go underground, and they would, so that they could practice their faith.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, mm-hmm. I do know about the persecuted church.
Yeah.
Those who were persecuted.
And
that's still taking place in many countries. It's not just back in another time. At different places all over the world, people are having to either, wasn't that when we read something about it, was the other book who was the person who read the other book when we were talking about Israel, the Israelis, where they were on the beach and there were people who were being beheaded because they had the choice to renounce their faith, and there were people who watched mm-hmm. them be beheaded and said, I want to have the God that you serve, because I have saw you stand and believe and you stand for your faith. So that
it
actually
Jeremiah.
Won people to Christ. Yes, Dr. Jeremiah's mm-hmm. book, that's what it was.
Yeah. See, and here's what he says. A persecuted believer. Are there any in our country? Yes. And this was written in the 1800s from England. Are there any in our country? Yes, dear friends, there are many. When a person becomes a Christian, he immediately becomes different from people that are around him. I was out standing at a window one day meditating on possible subjects for my next sermon. I could not decide on the text when all of a sudden I saw a flock of birds. A canary had escaped from its cage and was flying over the roofs of the houses opposite of me. It was being chased by 20 sparrows along with other rough birds. Then I thought of this verse. Mine heritage is unto me as a speckled bird. The birds round about me are against her. Why? The birds in the pursuit seem to say to one another, here is a yellow fellow. We have not seen a bird like him in our city. He has no business here. Let us pull off his bright coat, or let us make him as dark and dull as we are. Now, I take issue with the dark part, but I'm going to leave that alone for now because we're talking about prayer. But I took a little bit issue with that. I'm not sure about his annotated thought of the pursuing birds, because just because something is dark does not mean it's dull. Amen. Dark in color, that's what I mean. But Spurgeon is right when it comes to persecution. That is what people of the world try to do to Christians. Here's a godly man who works in a factory, or a Christian woman who was employed by an office. Such Christians will have a sad tale to tell, how they have been hunted down, ridiculed, and scoffed at by ungodly believers. Now, see, that comes with the territory. But what Dr. Susie and I were saying
the persecuted church. In a lot of cases, these people hear about these persecuted churches, yet they are drawn. The church at Rome was persecuted. They were beheaded. They were taken before the lions, and they were eaten by lions in the Colosseum. Nero blamed the fire that he set to Rome, blamed it on the Christians. He wanted people to hate Christians, but people began to see Christians in their captivity, the tremendous strength of their faith in this one called Jesus. So much so,
amen.
A polytheistic society over there in Rome was seeing these people who worshiped only one God, the one true and living God, and they were converted. Roman soldiers were converted. Roman aristocracy yes. was converted to Christ.
So we are, it's 8:18. So with this, we're going to wrap up the last part of the chapter. And basically what it's talking about, Bishop, is how these short exclamatory prayers are of very good use to us, and that is something that we should practice. And so it's saying that several things that it will do is to allow us to have confidence in ourselves. And we have confidence because we depend on God. You know, we talked
Amen.
About last week how when you say the prayer, instead of going on to something, some long oration, it actually becomes, Lord, help. You know, something short and quick and pithy, and that it's direct and it's authentic and it's pleading and it's from the heart. And so that's why this is most of offer prayers, saying, wherefore cries thou unto me, the Lord said to him. And so Moses is crying out. God is listening, and God is there, and he's encouraging us to do the same, to cry out, that they're rapid and quick and sincere. And one of the things that Spurgeon says that he'll conclude by mentioning, he talked about Roland Hill, about other
yeah.
ministers and people that he knew were great prayers. But I guess basically
mm-hmm.
what he's trying to remind us of is that as we pray, we should stay in this constant state of prayer.
Yes.
Staying in the idea of praying always without ceasing, and as a result, drawing close to God and having this attitude within us of joy, an attitude where we are praising God and being gracious and having gratitude. And I think that's what happens when God meets us where we are. You know what I'm saying? And
yes.
And I think that's exactly what he's saying. Let God be God, and go to God where you are. Go to God with the short, pithy statements. Go to God continuously and on a regular basis. Go to God knowing that when we have struggles, let it move us to prayer. And there's a scripture, Psalm 19, when David was saying, he said, hold thou me up.
Yes, Lord.
Hold thou me up.
Mm-mm-mm.
Have you ever been in a place where you said, Lord, hold me up? Lord, I can't
yes.
make it if you don't hold me up. He said his feet were almost gone and steps had well nigh slipped. So basically what I'm hearing is, Lord, you hold me up because I can't make it on my own. My feet will slip. I can't make it if you don't sustain me, if you don't strengthen me, if you don't gird me, if you don't quicken me, if you don't, Lord, it's about you preparing and holding and keeping according to your word to do nothing without
nothing.
You. Nothing
Amen.
With y'all of you. He says, be not far from me, Lord. Be not
My
far
God.
From me. Don't hide your face from me, Lord. I need you. I need you. I need you. And even
Hallelujah.
Stephen, when Stephen
Come
was
on.
Being offered and being martyred, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He bowed up his head and gave up the ghost and said, Lord, he knew that God was with him.
Yeah.
And sometimes, even when we're struggling, all we got to do is say, Lord Jesus, help.
Yes,
and
yes.
His grace will be that which extends the whatever short, wherever we've fallen short, God will make the difference. God
yes,
will
he
be
will.
That which will hear us and be there for us. Because it says he's
yes.
a rewarder of those that do what? Diligently
seek him.
Diligently.
Yes.
Seek him. Brother Mateo joined us tonight. We're so glad he's with us. And we
hey,
just
got
to understand that this is our time in which
you
know,
how you doing,
we get to see the relationship that we have with God is what sustains us. It's that prayer time that we have with the Lord that's succinct. It's that prayer time that we have with the Lord that changes our heart. It's that prayer time that we have with God that gives us the faith to believe. It's that prayer time that we have in God where we rely on the precious blood of Jesus to save us and transform us. It's that prayer time that reminds us that he was the Redeemer, the Sustainer. Come on. It's the prayer time.
Amen.
Yes.
Talking with God.
Don't
being
miss
in
it.
Your cave.
Do not miss it.
Quiet time
Hallelujah.
With the Lord.
Mm.
Praising him
That's
for his grace and mercy.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
So, Brother Mateo, were you able to get any, glean any of this tonight that you wanted to say as a take home for you?
It's just the focus on the prayer time. Good evening, everybody. It's the focus on the prayer time. I think that's been like the biggest thing for me. Like tonight, when you ending off with the prayer time and spending time with Yah, that's like the biggest thing for me right now. I mean, you know, some of us have set up prayer times throughout the day that we stop everything we're doing to pray, and I think that's most important to show. Hey, if the unbelievers can do it 5 times, we can do it 10, you know, to
Come
show
on.
Our Father that we love him. So my takeaway tonight is prayer time and spending time with Yah should supersede everything.
Praise God. Praise God.
You want to send an extended invitation, Bishop?
Yes. We talked a lot tonight about prayer. And what we found out and what we discovered, the time to pray is always. Man ought to always pray and don't get tired. That's what the Apostle Paul tells us. If you want to know that type of intimacy and relationship with God, all you have to do is A, admit that you're a sinner. B, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. C, confess to him your sin and that you need God in your life. You want to receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior. If you can do those ABCs, admit, believe, and confess, the Bible says you will be saved. Let me pray for you and pray with you. Lord Jesus, we come to you and we admit that our sin is before us. So we confess that. We believe that Jesus died on the cross. And we also believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. And the Bible tells us that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, we shall be saved. We do believe that. We've heard it, and now we believe it. So, Lord, come into our hearts, come into our spirits, and, Lord, let the Holy Spirit take reign and rule in our bodies. And, Lord, help us to find a Bible-believing church. And that we would be able to glean from the pastors and the leaders of that church. We ask that you would do this in the name of Jesus. My friend, if you prayed that prayer with me, welcome to the family of God. You're born again. Sister Susie is coming with more instructions and more information about this Love Connection Bible study. We're glad.
We are so excited that you joined us tonight and that you are with us. We ask that you come back every Tuesday from 7 to 8:30-ish p.m. and join us. Feel free if you have any questions or have any topics you'd like us to discuss, please send it to drsusie.loveconnection@gmail.com and join us again next Tuesday. Bring friends, family, and loved ones with you and call in at 646-478-4932. God's blessings be with you, and we'll see you again next week.
God bless you.
Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.